Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
Andy Jacobs, I'm sorry. John, just the way John leans, he loves a bit of social distancing.
Yeah, we've basically got a phone on the end of a very long pole to do this intro for the podcast.
Postcode, I think. Yeah.
It's like he's fishing. We're talking to which, that's our guest tomorrow. But anyway, what are we like today, Andy? It's all yours.
Well, we had a... If you like hearing Paul and I chat...
I don't.
This is the show for you, because we had three good chats today. There was Eclipse of the Midweek. We had a little bit about Meghan Markle that you brilliantly brought back to sport, I thought.
Yeah.
We spoke to a guy who's done a film about Michael Jordan, or more about Jordan's shoes, Air Jordans. And Damon and Hill and Johnny Herbert.
That's right, Damon and Hill and Johnny Herbert. That's, you get three for the price of two there. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. Maybe we should kick off then nailing your hunger, because you said to me earlier on, I'm starving. And I said, well, what did you have for breakfast? Because you've got this system. You don't have lunch. You have a big breakfast, no lunch. That's then, your system, isn't
it? Yeah, and then I don't eat till dinner. And then
why
I try
is that? Why do you think that's good for you?
I just felt that I used to eat just before the show, and I felt it sort of kind of slowed me down. I remember having a pasta one day and just feeling like, wow.
That's not really the life pre-match meal, is it?
No,
tea and toast, chicken and beans, you know how it works. Mm. Not a massive amount of
that's
pasta.
That's right. So I evolved this method of having a big breakfast and then eating in the evening, and that was it.
Yeah.
And it kind of, look, I'm not thin, but I'm not massively overweight either. Yeah. So it kind of works for me. That's fine. But I don't know, the last 2 days, yesterday, I had a packet of hula hoops in my pocket. So even though I'd had a big breakfast...
Or were you just pleased to see me?
I was. I ate them before the show.
Oh, yeah.
Today, I walked past the donut shop in Borough High Street.
Oh, yeah.
I lingered there for about a minute.
Honestly. We're just feeling guilty.
Oh, I wanted to go in. The jam one just looked sensational.
Oh, you of all the choices. If you're in the donut business...
I like the... Your bog standard donut. I don't like all these fancy
traditionalist in the donut world.
Donuts, you don't.
No, you don't like these.
No.
I had a place. My son was living just outside of Boston. They had this donut specialist place that did the bacon maple donut.
Whoa!
Add maple syrup and bacon on it. I'm trying to make you hungry. Suddenly, for a man who only likes jam donuts, suddenly very interested.
There's a Japanese cafe that does egg mayonnaise donuts. They're fantastic.
Egg mayonnaise.
Doesn't sound like that'd be good, but it's incredible.
You're listening
incredible.
To Talk Sport, by the way.
Well, it's international
Premier
week.
League chairman are meeting this minute and the game on the cusp of collapse.
We've all heard
but
all about
anyway, donuts, just
donuts
a bit of light relief.
Yeah.
So just tell us what you had for breakfast this morning, bacon. Jeff Capes, and we'll decide whether you should be hungry or not.
I had two rashers of bacon, a poached egg.
Hang on, let me write down two rashers of bacon, two rashers of bacon, two rashers of bacon, a poached egg, yeah.
Half an avocado.
Half an avocado.
Slice of toast.
Slice of toast, slice of toast.
Two shredded wheat.
Two shredded wheat, two
maple
shredded
syrup. Blueberries, milk, and a nice cappuccino.
Cappuccino. 175! So I said, you need to be listening for a little while for that to make any sense.
Yeah, and normally it works, but I don't know, it must be the change.
And what time, does the British powerlifting tournament start? That's the sort of breakfast you'd see. You'd see a picture of Jeff Capes a couple of weeks before, and he'd have this platter with what you've just described on it.
I know.
And he'd say, but you know, I know I'm going to work it off once I... once I start throwing that shot.
It's bad, isn't it?
But and you've got the munchies now.
I know. What are you going to do? Okay, never mind. I shall soldier on and
yeah, yeah. Well, it's great. I don't want you wasting away. Now, that cannonball you've got there, I think you'll be all right. You've got some reserves, Andy.
No, it's gone down.
I've noticed that. Yeah. Andre sitting next to me at one point.
Unlikely.
Anyway,
Alan Brazil's book has been serialised.
Yeah. I think we're going to have Al on in a couple of weeks.
It's great.
To talk about it. Yeah.
The headline's perfect. Honestly, whoever interviewed Alan has done a great job here because they've really got the essence of him. Because the headline says, "It's just not for me, Beaky." He doesn't write Beaky at the end.
Yeah.
And it's basically Alan talking about women's football. And it's so fun. No wonder people love him because, you know, a lot of people sort of pretend to like women's football.
Yeah.
So, but Alan calls it like it is. You know, so
I believe the
Whether you agree with him or not, you have to admire him for that.
Yeah, the person interviewing him is Isabel Barker, who came in and saw us. She was the winner of the first Vicky Orvice Scholarship.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. Well, she's really done a fine job, I have to say. She's really got under his skin.
Yeah.
And also, there was a photo of he's a great actor, isn't he? Colin Farrell, I loved him in Bruges and many other things. Fabulous actor. But he's playing the penguin in the new Batman film.
Completely different, isn't it?
Well, what's the point?
What do you mean?
What's the point? If you wanted somebody who looks like that, why don't you get George Graham? He's basically George Graham. Why get Colin Farrell to look like George Graham?
It's handy,
so much
though,
prosthetic.
Because when they do the George Graham story, Colin Farrell can play it.
Can't he?
They can do the old 89 make. They do that film of 89 winning at Anfield.
Yeah,
they can get Colin Farrell in. But it's like, what's the point? I mean, why did De Niro play Jake LaMotta? You know, why did any actor put himself? You know, Christian Bale wouldn't have a career unless he did stuff like that.
That's true.
You know, it's what's the point?
There we are. I don't know if this is a sign. I don't know if you believe in omens, but tests on feathers from the vulture Vigo, who's been touring the UK for months.
Yeah, I've got one of his tour jackets.
There's no surprise, is it, this year there's a vulture hovering over Britain?
The trouble is he's been eating roadkill.
Has he?
And of course, it means
Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall.
No, not. He doesn't sort of cook it in a light jus. He just devours it on the roadside.
Heavyweight, really.
Yeah, but no. What he does, he's kind of getting in the road, and he's a big fella, so it looks like a small dog standing in the central reservation, the M25. So he's been causing problems. I've read about this vulture.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talksport.
Ben Jacobs here on TalkSport. Andy, you bring us news of something, is this right?
Our old friend Tancredi Palmieri on Twitter has just tweeted this. He said, Cristiano Ronaldo's sister and mother have shared a message. If it has to be Cristiano Ronaldo to wake up the world, then he is sent by God. From today, thousands of people won't believe any more in COVID and tests. It's the biggest fraud ever seen. Well, because he's asymptomatic. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, you know, younger people that are physically fit are more likely to be asymptomatic. Not always, but...
No. But, I mean, if you test positive, what are they saying? The test wasn't right.
I don't know.
Just because he's not ill. That's strange.
We'll drill down into that later on. Then we get breakfast tomorrow. Arsene Wenger will be joining Alan Brazil, Ali McQuist and Jamie O'Hara. They're going to have a little half-hour chat about his new book.
What, Alan's new book?
No. That would be great, wouldn't
it? Alan, I love your book. It's great.
Well, join us now, Arsene Wenger. Arsene, you must love my new book. That would be great, wouldn't it? And he thinks he's on to talk about it. So they just do half hour on Alan's. For me, Arsene, not really.
Perhaps that bloke in Paris that Alan ended up in his room was Arsene Wenger.
It could have been, fighting in his room. I've heard a few of Alan's stories from his book because when we did the kind of gig in Ipswich a little while ago with Ray Parler, he brings them to life when he does the old after dinner set, Alan. He does all the actions. He's fighting. It's like you're being back in the hotel room in Paris and he's wrestling naked with this man on the bed. You need to read the book. We move on because down at Collingham and Linton Cricket Club, West Yorkshire, we were just trying to find if we could the song of the hoopoe bird. Unfortunately, that's not troubling the people on YouTube just yet.
But, I can do the bitten if you want.
apparently it goes hoop hoop.
Does it?
Yeah, that's the name.
That's the name, yeah.
I'm sure absolutely sick of the sound of it. And indeed, people treading all around his ground is the head groundsman, Collingham and Linton Cricket Club. And that is Bill. Oh, he's not there. Oh, sorry, he's not there. I'm being told he's not with us.
Oh, I apologise.
What a disaster.
Quite excited. They've got the picture of the bird.
I had a headphone issue. I was doing the big build-up and we can't get Bill. What's going to happen there? Maybe the hoopos attacked him. I certainly hope not. Okay, well, we'll keep going then.
Yes, all right. Or us, you mean?
Well, yeah. Well, okay. If you want to sing a few songs from the shows, I mean, I don't see what the option is, Andy. I can't magic up a guest out of nowhere.
Jackie Stewart, the great racing driver. Of course, we've got Damon Hill and Johnny Herbert on later. But yeah. Jackie Stewart's been talking about... He's been responding to the fact that... I don't think Lewis Hamilton was particularly impressed with the fact that Jackie Stewart didn't really rate him, but that, well, Jackie says that's not true.
He says that's not the case. I mean, yeah. I mean, I know we know that Damon Hill and Johnny do because they talk about it in their books, and we will be discussing that a little bit later.
No, he says, I'm not trying to diminish Lewis. I hold his performances with incredible respect. He's the best driver of the present time. I'm disappointed that he thinks that way. The greatest, I believe, was Juan Manuel Fangio, but, you know, it's difficult for Lewis. You can't remember what Fangio was like. You've probably never even seen him.
But the point Jackie Stewart makes, I think, is a good one that we talk about greatest of all time.
Now,
in
he
sports,
says, is it correct to say someone is the best?
It's just a pub conversation. You can't arrive at an answer, can you? You can't.
I've always said that to
definitively
you.
Say who the greatest
That's half
is.
The programmes on Talksport going out the window, but I've always said to you it's pointless. That is Lionel Messi better than Pele or Sir Stanley Matthews?
0871
Well, he's definitely better than Sir Stanley Matthews. I mean, he was all right, Stanley, but he wasn't.
But
as good
in
as
his time, I mean, that's the Fangio argument, isn't it? Well, I mean, Fangio's driving a very different car. And we're doing it now.
Is Roger Federer better than Rod Laver?
You get sucked into it.
He wasn't.
Well, look, we've got 10 minutes. Let's deal with this once and for all and come up with a definitive answer that no one can ever question.
I've got a new idea. If you've got something you want to market, if you've got a new product, all you've got to do is go and give it to Captain Sir Tom Moore.
Right.
That's what they do now. So yesterday they presented him with a senior rail card. So not that he really needs a senior rail card, but of course it's guaranteed to get publicity. Yeah. He stands there with the rail card. So I'm working on a set of rollerblades. So I think I'm getting to him. Yeah,
play Funky Town like Malcolm in the Middle. Can you see Colonel Tom in a pair of rollerblades?
Well,
I mean, I think he's game enough to give it
a go. I'll push him around the garden.
I think you'd have to.
Could work.
You'd have to. I wonder if you'll be like Colonel Tom. You'll be like the Colonel Tom of Talksport in about. 10 years.
Raise 39 million by walking around the studio.
Probably not that.
No, probably not.
Andy, would you call yourself an antisocial person?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I've got a little tip for you. It comes courtesy of Jamie East, broadcaster and journalist.
Former colleague.
Yeah, that's right, who tweeted something earlier on, Andy, that I thought you'd find of interest. And you might... This is some story. An antisocial Spanish woman reportedly pretended to be blind for 28 years so that she wouldn't have to stop and say hello to people in the street.
I wouldn't go to that length.
Carmen Jimenez, 57, told everyone, including her own family, that she'd lost her vision in an accident. Her husband and family were shocked when she came clean, yet not entirely surprised. They felt there was something fishy about her story. Her husband said she could put on her makeup perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
And that they sometimes caught her looking at the TV from the corner of her eye. I've never been a very sociable person, she says, but pretending to be blind, I was able to avoid many social responsibilities.
Did she go to the trouble of getting a guide dog?
I don't know what extent she went. I mean, she must have gone to the extent of... You know, the pretense. A terrible tale, really, Andy. But it did strike me that
people are very odd.
It might be. Do you want to hear from the hoopoe bird? We can't hear from the groundsman.
Okay.
But we can hear the song of the hoopoe bird.
Yeah, let's hear it then.
Here it is. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. Are there two birds there? Is that all hoopoe?
No, the hoopoe is the hoop bird.
What are the other birds?
I would imagine. I don't know what the other birds are.
You're not very good at it. Call yourself a twitcher.
Yeah, no, I don't. I really don't.
What about Francis? We're talking about Ronaldo just now. Francis Eduardo Camavinga swapped shirts with the Portuguese star, despite not coming onto the field.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he's a bit concerned there, is he?
Well, yeah, he said, I won't wash it. He said, well, obviously, you've got to wash it now because, it might be infected. But somebody said he's going to have to discard it in case of contamination. I think if you wash it, it'll be fine. It wouldn't survive a hot wash, would it?
Probably not, Andy, because of what we're doing with all of our cloth masks, aren't we?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, we both watched last night, but without knowing it, because we do everything together, don't we?
Yeah, of course.
That's it, telepathic. We both watched The Playbook on Netflix.
Yeah, you were a bit more of a purist and went for Doc Rivers, and I went straight to the Jose one out of interest. Like, I've not seen enough of Jose already on Netflix.
Well, to be honest, I was about to watch Jill Ellis, and I thought, because I watched the first one with Doc Rivers, and then I was going to watch the Jill Ellis one. I thought, oh, no, I've got to watch the Jose one. And it's different to All or Nothing because it's kind of more presented philosophy rather than his philosophy in action that the Spurs documentary is. And I just... The thing about Mourinho, he's, when you examine his career, it's an incredible career. And the way he takes a club to his heart, you saw that in All or Nothing.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. But I was more interested, in a way, because we've seen so much of him, in Doc Rivers. And he's much more of a philosopher than Jose is.
He's the coach of the 76ers, isn't he?
No, he's the coach of the Clippers.
Oh, Clippers.
And he was brilliant at the Celtics. And he came up with this thing. I can't remember exactly how he did, but I've never heard of it before. It's an African philosophy. Philosophy. Brilliant, isn't it? It's philosophy.
It's a philosophy.
Stanley Unwin.
I'm a philosopher, and this is my philosophy. Is that kind of fast philosophy? Is it like philosophy at velocity? Is that what it is?
Probably trying to speak too quickly.
Yeah, okay.
It's spelled Ubuntu. I think it's pronounced Ubuntu.
Yeah.
And it's a way of living. And then basically it's, I can't be the best I can be until you're the best you can be. And he adapted it to the team.
Yeah.
And he got them all to buy into it. He got the rookies. He taught them what it was. And he taught them this philosophy. And they then lectured all the senior. Because he had three star players that all, in basketball, was a very individualistic sport. Mm. You know, you can get one man can win a game for you. And often a star wants to be the one that's always shooting. So it's very hard to get everybody to buy into the team ethic. Mm. And he used this philosophy to do it. It's fascinating. I do recommend it. If you're a coach, either of an amateur team or more so a professional team, watch this series. I think you'll get something out of
it. Yeah. You know. What we discovered from the Jose one, that the Moose is in it again, that infamous exchange when Jose first took over and he said, have I got to look at you every day? You're still here. Joking, but they used it as an example of how he has a prickly relationship with the press. But of course, that was a joke.
He was having some fun. Yeah, it was a bit taken out of context. But I love the fact that, I mean, I've only watched about half of it, but he finally admits the laundry incident.
Yeah, when he hid in the, he was banned from the game at Chelsea and hid in the laundry basket.
Fascinating the way he explains it. I mean, it was really elaborate, but he did it for the team.
A section saying the rules are there to be broken.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. The Talk Sport Clips of the Week.
Well, it's the Clips of the Midweek. Box of old mini discs, as we told you before, gathering dust in a corner of the old offices before we moved. We're picked up, digitised by one of our
team. Yeah, we should thank James Marston, who's been doing all this digitising for us.
He's brought them right up to date. They're from March 2007. We have not heard them since. The producer has written some new intros, so we look forward to bringing them to you and, you know, hopefully reliving them ourselves. We begin with Mike Mendoza on the... We got some stories there. On the overnight show, taking a call.
Dave's in Leeds. Dave, good morning to you, sir.
Hello, is that me?
I hope so, yes.
All right. You're right, Dave.
You're right, Dave.
You're right, Dave. He's not Dave, he's Mike.
Yeah, indeed.
Alan Brazil now, and a word he's always struggled with.
Tell the Moose to put a sock in it. For him to be critical of anyone's physique is to say the least hypocritical. He hasn't spelled that right, has he? Honestly, hypocritical as he's got here.
I bet he didn't. I bet he was hypocritical.
We've heard Alan say hip quite a lot. I'm waiting for the three cheers. Back to Mike Mendoza overnight again. And this is a novel way of complaining about a neighbour.
William's in Banbury. William, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Alan.
Hi there.
Yeah, I just wanted... I'm in a bed and breakfast called Coatfield's House.
Oh, yes. Is that in Banbury?
Club on the Oxford Road.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And someone is playing Talk Sport really loudly.
Oh, good.
And I'm not quite sure where it's coming from. I think it might be the house that backs onto it.
Well, I hope they turn the sound up a bit more, yeah.
If they're listening, can they just turn it down a bit?
Well, it's better than saying turn it off.
It must have been very loud if it wasn't actually in the same hotel. It was over the street. We think it's there, yeah, back
the
onto
Mike Mendoza in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
well, there you go.
Marvellous. Is it me?
No, it's me.
No, it's you. Go on.
Here's Ian Collins talking about the Olympics.
Well, I don't know what happened in Athens, but if you remember that they were still laying the tarmac just before the 500 metres.
What a thought. Dirty boys. And sticking with the Olympics, here's a very angry caller who thankfully managed to bleep himself.
I'd rather see the money spent on the NHS than some kid with a gold medal.
Self-censorship. Yeah.
Well, there's a point there. Yeah. Here's Mike Parry now alongside Graham Beecroft talking history.
Yeah, what did Lenin say? Was it Lenin? Was it Stalin? Stalin, I think it was. Stalin said, never mind, successful generals. Give me lucky generals any time.
Or was it Napoleon? Anyway.
It could have been Napoleon even.
Yeah, never mind. He was known for that, Napoleon, wasn't he? This is Jim Proudfoot.
Ridiculous.
This is Jim Proudfoot taking a call.
Keith, good evening.
Hello, good evening. Thanks for coming on.
Nice, isn't it? Yeah, not your show, mate. It's like Morecambe and Wise.
It was.
Janet Webb.
And now here's Fisherman's Blues host Nigel Botherway getting a bit racy.
If you're out there fishing on the bank, if you've been at it all night, you should know the number by now. Do give me a call. Let me know how you got on. Have you got one in the sack?
You really don't call and tell him that. You're asking for trouble. This is the former kickoff host Terry Christian alongside Mickey Quinn.
Where's the entertainment? Point, where's your money's worth?
You've hit the knuckle on the head.
Well, it, yeah, right, is it? Yeah, it comes from a boxing family, Mick. Does, that's what, yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And finally, yeah, it's back to Graham Beecroft with Alvin Martin going full Partridge.
Who would have thought, you know, sharks are becoming a little bit endangered, aren't they, at the moment, the big, big sharks. But, and you would have thought that that would have no effect on the food chain. But in fact, it's in North Carolina, the death and the killing of virtually every shark in the sea is wiping out the scallop beds. Why? Because it's allowing the other smaller fish around that the shark would take, who like scallops, the shark doesn't take the scallops, but the smaller fish around the shark would take, and now it's taking the scallops, and therefore, so it just shows you how intricately interwoven things are in nature.
They'll be going up a few quid, then, the old scallops in my local, won't they?
Yeah, certainly will. Okay, let's turn our attention to the championship now. Delighted to welcome Peter Beegree.
Peter Beegree, who did he have an opinion about scallops or scallops?
I've got no idea. So that's some gear change, isn't it? Well, from over, yeah. Oh dear, that's a sensation. I haven't heard that for years. Completely,
I didn't know that theory.
Forgotten about it.
Yeah, the shark.
Don't engage in it, Andy, because you'll be no better. But I love the fact that Alvin suddenly thought he was going to be paying more for his starters in his local pub. That was the main takeaway for him, was that he was going to cost him a lot more money. He didn't care about the old sharks, the big sharks, did he? So there we are. We'll have some more old clips of the midweek from 2007-ish for you next week.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast
from TalkSport.
In the meantime, Andy, you've got a couple of minutes to work your magic.
Well, that's good, because I've got a new definition of insanity for you.
Oh, have you really?
Yeah, that's anyone who paid 1,400 quid to listen to Meghan Markle online. Okay. Honestly.
Wow.
It's incredible. I wish I'd known. Oh, for goodness sake. I love the...
What was she doing online?
She was just talking about her life. What do you think she was doing? What else can she do?
Wasn't snooker trick shot.
No, she said...
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't
she
it?
She said she was pleased she found the courage to move back to America, yeah. And she said it wasn't easy. Because, I mean, travelling from your own island in Vancouver and then on to an $11 million home in Malibu, all the humanity.
But wouldn't it have been good if it had been snooker trick shots that you paid 1,400 quid for some sort of insight, and then she said, this is one John Virgo showed me.
Yeah, she's got a whole John Virgo's act.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? Yeah. I mean, I think that would be worth 1,400 quid. That'd be... Yeah.
Then she topped it off with an impersonation of Ted Lowe.
Yeah, it was all quite snooker based. She puts her glasses on upside down, says Dennis Taylor, and gives a couple of choruses of snooker loopy.
I like that, yeah.
And
that could work for me.
The rare then, screw back. She does a country version of it. It's like Dolly Parton. Yeah. Seeing snooker. Hey, look, it's never going to happen, is it?
But, and she sinks 16 pints like Bill Werbenick to finish off. I pay 1,400 quid for all that lot.
Yeah, that's it. And Harry's head pops around the corner and goes, good luck, mate. That's it. It's basically a vintage snooker, 1,400 quid
experience.
Audience with. Yeah. Never going to happen, is it? Never going to happen.
Good idea, though.
Good idea, though. So we'll put it to him. I mean, they seem to be up for most things. Netflix will buy it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We all love a sports documentary, and there is a new one for us to watch from the world. Well, I'd say it's from the world of basketball, but it's a bit more than that. It's Michael Jordan, but more specifically the story of the Air Jordans and the kind of cultural significance of them.
The shoe phenomenon.
The shoe phenomenon, absolutely right. Let's give you a little flavour of the film now from the trailer.
The shoes gained very quickly a huge street value in American culture.
And all of a sudden, overnight, it was just like everybody wanted them.
What the hell's a Nike doing? We're in now the 80s, and we're putting a black guy on television to sell shoes to white America.
What he did in terms of global marketing and giving other black athletes a blueprint to do that was quite revolutionary.
It was like what the Beatles were, people screaming, and then you had Michael Jordan. You had Paul and John rolled into one.
They'd hoped to sell $3 million worth of shoes, and they sold $126 million the first year.
Wow, wait.
Amazing. Absolutely incredible.
The film is called One Man and His Shoes, and the filmmaker joins us now, Yemi Bamiro. Good afternoon, Yemi.
Good afternoon, guys. Thank you for having me.
Great pleasure. Yeah. I mean, the Last Dance, well, you've been working on this for years, but The Last Dance, of course, is, I imagine, very useful from your point of view, because this is something that's touched on within it, and people are, you know, probably... A greater audience for Jordan and his story than probably before.
Yeah, I think I was aware of The Last Dance in terms of I knew that it was in production, but I'd always hoped that our little film would be out long before it came out. But yeah, global pandemics pretty much changed all of that. But we very much exist in the slipstream of The Last Dance, because I think what The Last Dance did is that it showed commissioners, it showed TV people, film people, that there is actually an appetite for all things Michael Jordan. And, you know, just the way with the way things worked out, we just happened to have a finished film that looked at Michael Jordan, but also looked at the brand of Michael Jordan, i.e., you know, the Air Jordan sneakers. So, yeah, I think it sort of all worked out.
I mean, they were aspirational, weren't they? They also were comfortable. Often fashion, high fashion items are, you know, uncomfortable to wear, but these are the opposite of that. And they were cool. So they, you know, they had a lot going for them, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I think that they, you know, they changed the landscape of everything. I think from a marketing perspective, what Nike did with Michael Jordan remains the blueprint to which everything is based today in terms of like athletes or personalities or, you know, musicians are now the new pitchmen, just endorsing things. And I think from a sort of a stylistic point of view, yeah, they, you know, they were basketball shoes, but they were kind of like lifestyle shoes as well. They were meant to be things that you can just sort of like go to the shops in, not necessarily play basketball in. But the way that Mark Knight did the marketing, it was almost like, you know, you can't be Michael Jordan, but you can have a piece of the thing that represents him the most, which were these incredible shoes that he was winning loads of championship rings in. So, yeah, Nike are really good at marketing.
And they were covered, of course, they certainly were. They were coveted. They were quite hard to get. You'd have sort of limited editions, which sort of played into that as well, that everybody wanted. And the fact the NBA didn't like the colour scheme on the initial ones made them a bit anti-establishment, didn't they?
Yeah, I think from a sort of a marketing perspective, it was like, you know, all the things that surrounded, you know, how this shoe came to be was just like a dream for Nike. In terms of them being marketing men. So the NBA banned the shoe. And then, you know, that was great for them because it just gave them a log line in which they could sort of like sell these shoes to America. And yeah, they did a great job. And that shoe is still, you know, revered and really hard to get now. So yeah, I was obsessed with sort of like the timing of all this. I was obsessed with, you know, what was going on in the late 80s, you know, what was going on in the 90s, because, you know, these decades represented a breakthrough in lots of things. It was a breakthrough in sort of like the way that brands marketed to consumers. It was a breakthrough in, you know, the African-American celebrity, not just Michael Jordan. You can sort of like look at what Eddie Murphy was doing. You can kind of look at what Prince was doing, Michael Jackson. You know, it was kind of like at a time when all of this, you know, sort of like came to the forefront of American culture. And then the Air Jordan story and what Michael Jordan was doing on the basketball court was sort of central to that as well. So, yeah, I've always been fascinated with it.
And game-worn ones recently have been auctioned by Sotheby's, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And also this thing of, I think that an element of this is it does appeal to men who like collecting. And I mean, our own Darren Bent here, he's got the most marvellous collection, and I collect Air Force Ones, and there's also this thing of box fresh as well, this idea that you almost wear them once and then you never wear them again. All these different things that came up out of this culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's insane. I think the collector thing is, it's mind-blowing. You know, there's a guy in our film, a guy called Jumpman Bostic out of Detroit, and, you know, his collection's outrageous. He's got thousands of pairs of, you know, Air Jordans, and he wears all of them in his basement. And the insurance policy for his collection is like over $1 million, you know. So it's a passion and it's an enthusiasm that these collectors have that is unrivaled. But, you know, it's all because they kind of like love Michael Jordan and what he represents, you know. And I think the trainers are just an extension of that.
You also look, Yemi, at the darker side of what was going on at that time, and the fact that there were people assaulted and even a few people killed for their trainers. And you spoke to in the film, you speak to the sister of a guy who was killed, but you make the point that despite everything that had gone on, despite the fact that this guy was killed for his Jordans, he was actually buried in a pair of Jordans as well.
Yeah. I do you know what? I've spoken a lot about this, and I think for me that was actually one of the most shocking sort of like elements of looking at the darker side of this phenomenon. I think, you know, in you know, to this young man and to his family, you know, these shoes meant so much that, you know, they buried him in a pair of Air Jordans, which I to this day I still quite can't get my head around that. But yeah, I mean, you know, the entry point into making this film was, you know, to explore the legacy of the Air Jordan sneaker, sort of like warts and all. So the first 60 minutes just looks at this celebration of this trainer and how this phenomenon came to be. But, you know, I remember being a teenager in South London and sort of like knowing that the Chicago Bulls were like the most incredible franchise and Michael Jordan was God. And I remember like stories of like kids on the New York subway getting robbed for their Air Jordan sneakers. So I kind of felt like a bit of a responsibility to sort of present, you know, the whole history and the whole legacy of the shoe, warts and all. I didn't really want to revise stuff. I didn't want to, you know, conveniently leave things out. I felt that it was appropriate to sort of like present all of the facts in relation to how this happened and just leave it to the discretion of the viewer to sort of like make up their own mind about, you know, the marketing prowess and savvy of these corporate brands and how that sort of like all works.
So, Yemi, where can we watch the film at the moment?
So you can still catch the film at London Film Festival virtually. You can catch it there for a few more days. And then we also have some preview screenings at, like, a few independent cinemas around London. So we have a preview screening on Friday at the Genesis in Mile End. And then we also have another preview screening on the 20th, which is next Tuesday at the Everyman Broadgate. And then we have our last preview screening on the 23rd at the Rio Dalston. And then, we get a wider release on the 2nd of November. It should be in most Everyman cinemas.
Excellent. Okay. And people can go and check out onemanonhisshoes.com. He's got all the details there on the website. Yeah. Yemi, good to talk to you. Best of luck with the film.
And you. Thanks, guys. Take care.
There we are. Yemi Bermiro, who's made that film, One Man on His Shoes. It's a fascinating story. And the trailer's worth checking. It gives you a really good flavour of the film. And if you get a chance to watch it, do so.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Joining us now to chat about their new book, Lights Out, Full Throttle, is two giants of British F1, indeed. Johnny Herbert and Damon Hill. Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Hi, guys.
Good afternoon. You go first, Johnny.
For the first time ever.
have you two always been mates, Damon?
Well, we've had our ups and downs, I have to be honest, you know. I mean, but we've got, you know, you can't not like Johnny. I've tried really hard, I promise.
I think that comes across in the book, guys. It's fun and it's quite a nice format. It feels very conversational.
Yeah, and I think that was the whole idea, wasn't it, Damon? It's something, you know, we've known each other for so long and it was lovely to talk about, you know, what we like about the sport, drivers we'd been against, what we like about the sport now and the drivers that are around now. And it was just nice to have that lovely banter. And I think it comes across pretty well.
Yeah, it feels like a transcript of an event you've done, or someone eavesdropping on a pub conversation you're having where you're putting the sport to rights and talking about everything that goes on. And you do cover a lot of ground, team orders, safety, even the yips. There's some great war stories about Bernie Eccleston. You're talking about.
I love that chap.
Yeah, that's very entertaining. I mean, you know, I think the other thing that comes across is just how important Johnny was to both your careers, and you openly talk about that.
Yeah, you know, Bernie. You know, if it wasn't for that man, then you know we wouldn't be talking about it today, because he sort of changed the whole dynamics of what Formula One was in the 70s, and then he turned it into this global sport that we have today. And of course, with everything that's going on with, you know, where is Formula One going to go in the future? That was something Bernie steered, you know, to the point of when he sold it to Liberty Media. And now we're in a transition once again to see exactly which way Formula One, you know, develops itself in the coming years.
Yeah.
Jackie Stewart was quoted in the papers this morning. I think he'd upset Lewis because he didn't include Lewis in his sort of top drivers of all time. He made the point, though, it's always difficult to do that, isn't it?
Yeah, I saw that. Who's talking? Johnny, me.
You go for it, Damon, first.
You go for it, Damon.
I think he's had a few. I think that it's always been a bit tricky with Lewis and Jackie, and we've had a couple of moments where, I mean, Jackie's style is very much, you know, to be as analytical as possible about the sport, and he was trying to make the point that it's very difficult to compare eras, but you know, Lewis is of a different culture in a way, you know, from the point of view of his age, and it's a different era. And I think that, you know, it's very difficult for him to accept that some people are there to, they're after their opinion and they give an opinion, and sometimes it's not a wholesome, you know, 100% approval. Sometimes it's critical, and that's okay too. But you know, you can't just say someone's wonderful the whole time if you don't think he's wonderful. But you know, I think Jackie was trying to put it into context. And we, you know, we talk about Lewis in the book and we talk about the kind of person he is. And I think he's very sensitive. And I think sometimes he gets hurt by what people say and then he responds with that. And it shows how he feels.
Yeah. Johnny, you do say you think he's the best, don't you, in the book?
Yeah, I do. And I say that because, like Damon said, you know, Formula One is very different than what it was when Sir Jackie was driving in the late 60s, early 70s, because, you know, you have so much social media to deal with. You've got the media itself. You've got all the TV companies that when I started in Formula One, there were probably about four TV sort of companies, you know, who followed Formula One. Now you've got probably over, you know, about 15 of those all wanting a piece of you. So that's sort of pressure that you've got to deal with. The cars are unbelievable, sort of powerful, technically advanced machines that the driver's got to get the very best out of. And I think from the consistency, from the ability of him to stay ahead of the game against all his drivers around him, and even with Max Verstappen doing, you know, a brilliant job in Red Bull, they're still not yet able to challenge him. And because of that, I think it's just amazing that he is still on this fantastic journey, equaling Michael Schumacher's race wins now. And that was something I never, ever thought I'd see before. And yeah. Some people say, well, yes, he's had the best car. But yes, he has. So did Michael. Mm. So did Nigel Mansell. So did Alain Prost. Yeah. You know, everybody has a good car, but you've still got to be able to get the best from it. And has any of his teammates challenged him? Well, it's only one, and that was only Nico Rosberg.
I mean,
Johnny, I'll just say, without stirring the pot too much, I mean, I've just seen that Sebastian Vettel is kind of refusing to acknowledge that anyone could be better than Michael Schumacher. But then, of course, you know, that was his hero when he was growing up. So yeah. The debate continues.
Of course. Damon, what about rivalries? Because I think Formula One at its best, there have been two great drivers or two great cars. Schumacher had this problem. Lewis has got this problem now, hasn't he? That people just, they almost don't appreciate it because he wins so regularly, not easily because it's never easy, but it appears easy.
Well, if you're slightly faster than everyone else, whether you've got a better car or you're a better driver, you can back off a little bit. You've got a margin. The rest of them are pedalling flat out to try and keep up. So it can look easy. But Johnny's won a race. He can tell you what it's like.
Thank you, buddy. It was three.
There's some funny moments in the book as well, plenty of those. And you talk about fame, the pair of you, and there's a couple of people around the world who have tattoos of your respective autographs on their person. Oh, both of you had that same experience, didn't you, Johnny, where someone come up and said, can I have your autograph, write it on my arm, and then they came back to you, and there was the tattoo of it.
Yes, it's quite a strange thing when you sort of hear that's what they might do, but when they actually do that tattoo, it is quite strange. Yeah. I think the other one I've had as well is my crash helmet was tattooed onto a young lady, sort of, and she was only about 15 at the time, unbelievably so, on shoulder. So yeah, there's been a couple of odd ones. Yeah.
Then you come back and you find that they've been forging your checks. Not so funny then, is it?
No, it's not. Thankfully, it hasn't happened yet.
Damon, you featured in the recent Murray Walker documentary that we watched in lockdown. It was a fascinating thing. He's a great figure of Formula One as well, isn't he?
Yeah, of course. You know, he lent his voice to our sport. You know, and it was along with the chain, the music, the chain. You know, it was James and Murray and who rounded up and summed up our experiences. So when Johnny, because he loved Johnny, when Johnny won, you know, it was, you know, he had to stop because he had a lump in his throat for Johnny as well.
Yeah. Have you got happy memories?
Only one lump in the throat.
Yeah. I think people will get an idea of what the book's like from all this.
Yeah, that is very much the to and fro that goes on. And so, Johnny, generally, things have worked out pretty well. I think we spoke to you just as Formula One came back. But, you know, things have worked out very well. And even Damon mentions in the book talking about Lewis and whether he'll still have that hunger when it comes back, whether he can keep the momentum going, and he clearly has. So it's been an interesting time, but the sport continues.
Yeah, well, we've been very fortunate that sort of Liberty Media and Chase Carey, who's ahead of that, has been able to sort of get everything together, all the teams on board to sort of, you know, get this sport up and running. And now we're just over halfway through. It's still being very popular with the fans tuning in to TV on Sky, and that's a great thing. But of course, now we've got Stefano Domenicali coming in, ex-Ferrari man, who's going to take over Chase Carey's position, very popular within the paddock. So there's a lot of good things, it looks as if, you know, are going to come Formula One's way. There's still issues that have got to be sorted out. You know, it's a big, big shock to the system when obviously Honda decided to pull out. So, yeah, there's still a lot of things that need to be done. And I think Stefano is the man to be able to steer it in the right direction. Excellent. But it's Formula One. Yeah, it's great. It's running.
Good stuff. Johnny, Damon, thanks ever so much for joining us. Best of luck with the book.
Brilliant. Paul, someone's been tampering with your Wikipedia page, I see.
Who, mine?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You want to see Andy's?
Honestly, I'm about 73. My dad invented the Muppets. Yeah, it's complete nonsense, all of it.
He wouldn't be working with me if his dad had
invented
the
photo,
Muppets.
It's not even a photo of me. It's a photo of like a hideously ugly version of me. Yeah, thanks.
Brilliant. All the best. Cheers. Cheers. Take care. Johnny Herbert and Damon Hill there. The book is called Lights Out Full Throttle. It's a lot of fun. Some good stories in there. If you love your Formula One, you'll very much enjoy it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We're back tomorrow from 1. And that's it. Well, look, thanks for listening. Enjoy the football and we will catch up with you then.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.